The Assyrian merchants had their own judicial and bureaucratic system that was very much like the civic assembly in Assur, as it is described in later texts. Remember, for this period, we don't really have any information for what's happening in Assur at the time. The letters refer to a central office in Kanesh, and this has not yet been uncovered. If it is found, it may reveal critical evidence for Assyrian political and legal offices. At present, we really only know about private life in the old Assyrian period, and nothing substantial about the government, so this is a striking contrast with many other periods, such as the Ur III period, where the opposite situation occurs, and we know what the king does seemingly at every moment of the day, but we don't know what's happening in the rest of the kingdom. In this case, the lens is turned in the opposite direction. We know what an individual Assyrian family of traders is doing, but we don't know who was king of Assyria at this time. The homes of the Assyrian merchants are generous in size. There are about 4 or 5 rooms on average around a reception room, an open courtyard. And often there is a second story, so there would be a double level for the house. A massive fire and widespread evidence of destruction destroyed the site around 1830, and this preserved the numerous tablets for us. But the site was abandoned for about 50 years before the settlement was reoccupied by Assyrians. They were also merchants, but there were far fewer of them, and the trading activity is much more circumscribed than we see in the old Assyrian period. The city of Kanesh, on the other hand, continued to thrive into the Roman era. So the local settlement continues. It's just the Assyrian Karum that is abandoned. The texts that survive were concerned almost exclusively with commercial issues. Some records of trials or other legal problems also are mixed in with the trading records. The majority of these tablets were dug up illegally before the Turkish excavations began, and they're scattered in museums throughout the world. So we lack an important archaeological context for these texts. Those that have been excavated in situ show that the houses had special archive rooms where the tablets were stored on shelves or in very large jars. An archive of a merchant named Ashurnata contained several hundred texts with letters from his father who oversaw the arrangements for their participation in the trade. Letters from other Karums or towns that engaged in trade or exchange with them. Contracts from customers, receipts for taxes and merchandise, and a few other legal documents. Most of the texts date to the late 20th and early 19th century BC, about 1910 to 1830, which was the high point of Assyrian merchant activity in the area. The trading system described in the Karum Kanesh texts involved the exchange of goods from southern Mesopotamia to Anatolia. Assyrian merchants focused on a few specific goods, especially tin and textiles. Tin was essential for making bronze and was most readily available from Afghanistan and Iran, so it would come from the east. Textiles from Babylonia were especially highly prized as exports. Records note that in a 50-year period, almost 10,000 textiles were imported to Kanesh by the Assyrian merchants. Sometimes they would also transport the raw materials for textile, such as wool or dyes, but this was a much less profitable commodity than the finished products. The goods were transported using donkey caravans of a few hundred donkeys, which brought the tin and textiles to Assur from different locations. And from there, from Assur, they would move west to Kanesh in Anatolia. So think of Assur as the converging point from which the donkey caravans move north and west to Anatolia.